Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Each week, we tackle a different issue that's uniquely Portland. So tune in every Saturday to hear a new episode complete with interviews and editorial that helps explain our city. From Portland's leading paper comes a brand new way to engage with the news, sports, arts, and culture. Stick around. Welcome to Dive, a podcast by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. It is oh so nice to have you with us today. It's January 23rd. We've got a great show for you. News editor Aaron Mesh is with us to talk about the cover story. We share some never-heard-before audio from the cover story interview. The quote of the week is an absolute trip, but first, all the headlines in under 2 minutes. This is 90 Second News Flash. Let's see. Any big stories this week? Oh, yep. We got a new president this week. Joseph R. Biden became the 46th president of the United States, much to the chagrin of some people in the city of Portland. Leftist anarchist protesters smashed windows and marched the streets saying, "We don't want Biden, we want revenge." Oregon unemployment went from 6% to 6.4% in December. A Blazers game was postponed this week due to their opponent, the Memphis Grizzlies, seeing an outbreak of COVID cases. Oregon Liquor Control Commission will change its name to Oregon Liquor and Cannabis Commission. Governor Kate Brown changed her mind a lot this week in regards to who should get the vaccine first between seniors and teachers. Reporter Rachel Monahan noted the flip-flop, calling it a double reversal, which honestly seems less like sound policy strategy and more like an awesome skateboarding trick. Call it the double reversal kickflip McTwist of incompetence. I don't know. I don't skate, but it seems cool. Last but not least, Portland has gone from being one of the most desirable cities in America to build new construction to one of the least desirable. This has been 90 Second News Flash. Now it's time to dive into this week's cover story. As I'm sure you know, Willamette Week publishes a new cover every Wednesday. This last Wednesday, Willamette Week published a moderated debate between Sushila Jayapal and Stan Pulliam. Jayapal is a Multnomah County commissioner and a Democrat. Pulliam is the mayor of Sandy, Oregon, and one of the leading Republicans in the state, and many are speculating his run for governor in 2022. While they didn't see eye to eye on much, they talked for over an hour about COVID, Trump, Governor Brown, and more. I got Willamette Week news editor Aaron Mesh to give us his take on the discussion and provide insight into the story. Why did you guys decide to do the cover story this week this way, with this kind of panel discussion slash moderated debate between, on the left, Jayapal, and on the right, Pulliam?
We had an entirely different cover story in mind 8 days ago. We woke up the Tuesday before publication on the January 13 issue, and Nigel Jaquist gave me a call that morning as I'm trying to get every story fact-checked and copy-edited, and said, "You know, I'm working on this investigative cover story, but it feels like it's the wrong time to write it, because when you look at what's going to be happening on January 20, Joe Biden's going to be inaugurated. The Capitol will be filled with National Guardsmen and American troops. State capitals may be surrounded by protesters. There feels like there's no guarantee that the country as we know it is going to hold together. And it just seems like a strange time to rewriting about anything except that."
Now that we've seen how Wednesday unfolds with inauguration, what's your takeaway? You've been a reporter for a long time. You're the news editor. What's your takeaway from inauguration of 2021?
Well, the nation held, but barely. We have troops in the Capitol. I don't know that you can describe it entirely as a peaceful transfer of power. It's also not a civil war. So, so I think that people's worst fears didn't play out. And I do think that there are a lot of people, you see them on social media and you see them in newsrooms, who get off on doomsaying, on thinking about what's the worst thing that can happen and then saying that's surely what's going to happen. And then when it does, saying, "I told you so." And that didn't happen in this case. But I don't think you can feel very optimistic about the state of the country. It's part of why I'm happy about us doing the story that we did. It's not a time period in which people are very interested in talking to each other. that anyone disagreeing with them is a form of silencing them or doing violence against them.
On that same point that you mentioned, so this story is talking, almost showcasing that people with very different opinions on majority of political issues can still come together and debate. As a reader, it was almost to me like that, the fact that that's a headline story is the headline story. Like, you know, it's part of America to be able to disagree with somebody and also have lively debate with them. Talk a little bit about why it's even impressive or noteworthy at all that people on completely different sides of the political spectrum can sit down and have a conversation, because it seems like it should be a given.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be naive, right? Like, civility isn't the greatest good. Like, the goal of American democracy is not that we have, like, pleasant conversations. The goal is that people are able to engage in the pursuit of happiness and have some level of freedom and safety, much of which has been compromised by the last 4 years in this country, and for many people who live in this country, never really existed, right? Our ability to reach that ultimate goal depends on being able to have conversations.
One of the topics that we've touched on and was discussed in the interview was the insurrection at the Capitol. Many members in the Black Lives Matter movement and many Democratic leaders have said that because the Black Lives Matter, the majority of the Black Lives Matter movement is a peaceful movement, the small group of people who take violent action, vandalize outside of the movement, doesn't represent the movement. Similarly, Pullman asked to try to bring that same theory to the Capitol riot, saying that the majority of protesters were peaceful and that the small minority entered the Capitol unlawfully. Is that a fair theory to apply to both sides?
Stan actually said it's possible to walk and chew gum at the same time in this conversation. And on that point, I'm going to agree with the Republican. It is, in fact, possible to see actions by two groups of people and to be displeased by both of those actions. But it's also possible to be able to rank dangers and to be able to say, well, while this is bad, this is worse. In other words, it's gross that a bunch of people in masks run around downtown Portland, smash windows, topple statues, commit destruction of small businesses. It sucks. There are a few people on social media who celebrate it, but almost everyone who lives in this city thinks it sucks. That said, it is not an attempt to overthrow our democracy, to literally execute elected officials by hanging them from gallows. It's just not the same thing.
Recent study that I saw by Harvard and Duke suggests that that the deaths caused by economic and societal decline as a result of lockdowns and shutdowns will far exceed the immediate and acute deaths by COVID-19. Does Pulliam have a point here? Is he correct that Governor Brown and other Democratic leaders are mishandling COVID and we're taking the short-term solution and not really looking at the long-term impacts of this correctly?
The governor's in a completely no-win situation because the federal response to this virus from the very beginning was insufficient. Not enough money was spent to subsidize small businesses and keep them closed without ruining livelihoods. You know, fuck Donald Trump for that. Now we have to ask the question of what are we going to do with these very bad choices? We have this horrible trolley dilemma where we're asking, is it better that a lot of people over the age of 60 die, or is it better that a bunch of people under the age of 20 have their future kneecapped? Stan's got a great point, given that he's watching his constituents lose their futures to because they can't open their shops, because they can't open their restaurants, because no one's allowed to have a beer and a hamburger anymore. Right. I get why he's mad, but that doesn't actually mean it's such a great idea to like send people out to get that beer and a hamburger and then their grandparents die.
Right, right. What was the most surprising thing that was said? Something that was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, out of what you expected.
I was surprised to the degree that Commissioner Jayapal was willing to acknowledge that Governor Kate Brown's executive orders and Oregon Health Authority's advice to the community has been a little incoherent, and that many Oregonians don't understand what they're being asked to do and why. It's become sort of a reflexive partisan choice in this state to say that if not for the governor and Democrats, everybody would be dead. And I think that Shushila's willingness to say, you know, I think a lot of Oregonians really don't understand what they're being asked to do and why, and that's not their fault. That's the governor's fault. I found that refreshing. I continue to be surprised, not just by Stan Pulliam, but by all Republicans in this state, about how vehement they are that they need to reopen businesses and towns and places, because it's not like small towns in Oregon are the ones that are hurting the worst off of COVID lockdowns. If you look at employment figures, it's Portland that's getting kicked in the teeth.
Folks, I ended my interview with Aaron with a game called Pick a Take. I had one take from Pulliam and one take from Jayapal, and I had Aaron pick out which side he agreed with. So first off, Pulliam, I would not have voted to impeach Trump. We need unity, and I'm not sure impeachment really accomplishes anything other than sticking your finger in the eye of the other side. Whereas Jayapal says, I would have voted to impeach Trump. We can't have unity without accountability. Who's correct here?
She's right.
And here with whether Oregon's moving in the correct direction, Jayapal says, it's not clear what the next session is going to look like. On a local level, many things are going in the right direction. In Multnomah County, we're talking about homelessness and things that I think will go in the right direction. Whereas Pulliam says, I think we just heard here was an elected leader from the left that says she believes that things are going for the most part in the wrong direction. So is Jayapal saying that they're going in the right direction, wrong direction, and what direction is Oregon really going in?
Oh, Oregon going in the wrong direction, although not for the reason that Stan thinks. The people who have the right ideas in this state are mostly afraid to say them in a clear and concise way. And the people with the wrong ideas are extremely loud.
You know, I've worked at Willamette for a few months now, and yet my biggest question remains unanswered, and that is, why do we publish on Wednesdays? Is paper cheapest Tuesday nights? Before I let our news editor go, I had to settle this once and for all.
Why do we publish on Wednesdays?
I really wish that we didn't, because it's so hard for me. Thursdays would be so much easier. So Mark Zussman, if you're listening to this, we should publish on Thursdays because it'd be so much easier for me. Here's why we publish on Wednesday. There's a reason, and I don't think it's going to change. We publish on Wednesdays because there's concert listings, because there's movie listings, because there's events listings for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and people want to have a couple days to make those plans.
To end this discussion, I'm going to play a clip from the discussion between Jayapal and Pulliam that did not make it into the article. Reporter Rachel Monahan asked Pulliam and Jayapal to make a statement that the other person agrees with but cannot say openly because it's an unpopular stance for their party. So something that Jayapal agrees with that isn't popular among Democrats, and something that Pulliam agrees with that Republicans aren't too keen on. Here's their answers, and Pulliam speaks first.
I think there are some clear things when it comes to extremism and violence and destruction with a lot of the direction that we're seeing on both sides in this country. We're at a very vicarious time in this nation's history. And I think this is one of those times that people from, both sides of, the aisle should be able to stand up and say, you know what, this is wrong. This needs to stop. I think about Mayor Ted Wheeler and a story that I read recently about, I think somebody like walked up to him at a restaurant and struck him in the face or something. That's unacceptable, completely unacceptable. Where are we now as a society where people are coming up to elected officials who are public servants and acting in that manner? And so I think that is something that we should all be able to agree on, is just general conduct as Americans in civic discourse and how we conduct ourselves and what's right and what's wrong.
Commissioner, I think you've responded to that earlier, so I would ask you to just move on to my question of, is there anything Republicans or you think the mayor can't politically say out loud but agrees with you on?
as you said, I think I think he came close. I think in terms of the overall COVID response, setting aside specific disagreements about small businesses, let's say, and about, you know, what should close, I think the overall response in the state of Oregon has, the proof is in the pudding. We are in a very good, relatively good place in terms of the spread of the virus. And as much as he you know, attributes criticism to some things that the governor has done, I think you then have to also give credit for the fact that we are where we are because of the leadership on the COVID response.
Always trying to keep my balance, but my surface gets slimmer. What used to be a bridge is now the width of a razor. The ones who care about me watch my face get thinner. Their eyes get more concerned while mine get dimmer. Started out having fun, just another way to play. Now I'm falling headfirst into unforgiving ways.
As we close out the show, our last segment is Quote of the Week. This quote comes from the mayor's office. At the top of the show, we talked about how Portland used to be one of the most desirable places to build in the country, but a variety of factors, including recent wildfires and destruction of property from protests, have led to a drop in confidence among investors looking to set up shop in Portland. Mayor spokesperson Jim Madaw spoke about these factors, saying, quote, "Everyone agrees Portland is facing challenges. That said, Portland remains a great place to live, work, and invest." Now, I know what you're thinking. What's the best business to invest in right now in Portland? Well, it's got to be the window repair business. And if you're building, just don't use glass. Stay away from that. Folks, thanks so much for listening to the Dive Podcast. That's the show. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. See you on the 30th.
Like I can't win. It's so hard to get out, but so easy falling in. I gotta find myself, but I don't know where to begin. Losing pieces of my mind, my thoughts are painted gray. Trying to patch up the holes before this dam gives way. What can I say?
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. For more information, go to willamaweek.com, follow Willamette Week on all socials, and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HankSandersPDX. Special thanks to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganiban, as well as the entire Willamette Week family. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Dive Podcast.